Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
KYW Original Podcasts.
One of Philadelphia's most iconic nightclubs reopens as a catering venue.
Many people have only seen it in the middle of the night.
After about a decade and a half of sitting empty, the famous bank building at 6th and Spring Garden Streets gets new life as Banca by DeBruno Brothers. This is a podcast about food in and around Philadelphia.
That's a quick, delicious, flavorful bite.
Because it was really hard for me to get into it.
Stories from behind the kitchen.
This is a wood-burning oven from Italy.
It is intense.
And hear about quirky stuff, too.
Eat a pint of ice cream as quickly as you can, and then resume the 5K.
This is What's Cooking on KYW. Anybody who knows about Philadelphia nightclub history knows about the bank, this building at 6th and Spring Garden, which was once an old bank, then was turned into, for many decades, a nightclub known as The Bank, known as Transit, and many other clubs. And for the past 15 or so years, it was empty, shut down. But now they're reopening as a catering venue by DeBruno Brothers. So I'm so excited to see what it looks like on the inside. I feel like I'm going back to my, like, it's very nostalgic because you remember when you think about those clubbing days, you remember who you were with. It's, you know, for me, it's like, you know, the single life, and now I'm married with kids, and like the whole vibe, I'm sure, is different, especially since it's not like an after hours members only, hush, hush, quiet, enter through the back door club. It's now a legit catering venue. So let's go take a look inside and see what it looks like now. Oh, wait. Oh, my gosh. First of all, let me take a look at this place.
It is astounding.
I don't think I've ever seen it in the light of day or the, like the full light.
Yeah, well, many people have only seen it in the middle of the night with way too many cocktails. It used to be a nightclub.
I remember. Right.
It was quite a series of clubs for a period of time. And unfortunately, it sat empty for about 15 years.
I'm Hadass Kuznets at Banca by DeBruno Brothers with Daniel Love, who is the consultant on this project. And this is an old nightclub turned into a catering venue.
Correct. It is designed 2,300 square feet for any number of clients, corporate, nonprofit.
There used to be a balcony up here.
Well, the balcony and Arts and Crafts Holdings, who bought the building, put their second floor offices in. And so we had a muralist from the Mural Arts Program build a beautiful mural that kind of continues the second floor architecture.
Because people will remember this balcony. So was this closed off?
There's another floor that was built. The balcony is still up there and people's offices are up there. And there are still two vaults up there, as well vaults in the basement. We're creating a cheese cave tasting room. In one of the vaults downstairs.
So much information.
There is actually a balcony behind the wall, and it's the offices for Arts and Crafts Holdings.
Right.
And all of their really cool staff operate up there.
So that was the original balcony of this building, and then you closed it off?
We had to close it off in order to separate the two operations.
Got it. The DJ booth was over here?
The DJ booth is still there. It's still up in the corner.
Oh, up there.
It was up there.
Right, it was up.
It was up on the second level. And you're
keeping it there.
Well, it has to stay there. It's been ironed into the construction of the original building. So it can't come out.
But that's good because you need a DJ.
You always need a DJ. And if we can get him up there, we'll certainly do a dance party.
So this is where the DJ of a wedding or any event would go?
Correct. Yeah. We'd certainly do a DJ up above if it's a big dance party. If it's a smaller one, they'd be on the floor with the guests. And we can set it up a lot of different ways. We have two 75-inch monitors built in behind the curtains on the south wall. So we can do programs. We can do sponsor loops. We can do old pictures of people when they were kids or, you know, old bar mitzvah photos, whatever. And we have about 2,300 square feet. So, you know, 100, 150 people are quite comfortable here.
Okay, so this is a DeBruno Brothers place. So you're also adding a cheese cave?
We are adding a cheese cave as our tasting room in the basement. It's one of the original vaults to the building. It's about 300 square feet and is one of the coolest old vaults you've ever seen.
I think a lot of people come here and they're going to be like, wait, did you redo the bathrooms?
We completely had to redo the bathrooms. We've had to redo the bathrooms for ADA compliancy.
It used to be like a big, giant...
That's in the basement. That's those big, giant basements where people laid things out on counters and
yes.
Those basements still exist. And we have an elevator in the back for ADA compliance as well.
How'd you fit an elevator into the building?
It's extended on the outside of the building. It's an exterior elevator. So you have to walk really carefully.
I remember these stairs. Yeah. I've only seen them like in the dark.
Lots of black light. This was all original to the club. There's a whole different bar.
The basement,
in the basement
too?
Absolutely. Yeah, there were four floors of bars, four floors of basement, dance floors.
I think I have a picture down here, and there was like a hole in the wall behind me.
No surprise. We found a couple of people that documented in the mid-80s all sorts of black and white photography that we're intending to put up on a wall in the back. Picturescapes of people that were having way too much fun here. It was way too cool. But yeah, this is the basement thing, and then this is our cheesecake.
An old bank vault. Oh, it's nice and cool in here.
It is nice and cool in here, and this will be perfect for wine and cheese, but it was also a private little dance room where they had piped-in music and, as you can tell, wood floor, and they would have little private dances in here. If you can use your imagination, you can understand how private they were. But yeah, it's a beautiful little space, and it's going to work out great as a cheese cave. The temperature in here is constant all year round and great for big bottles of wine, too.
So where are we going now?
Upstairs. Come on. For 25 years, it was a nightclub of one sort or another.
Take us through the history. A lot of people know this place as one of Philadelphia's historic nightclubs.
Right. Well, before that, it was one of Philadelphia's banks designed by Frank Furness. So for about 120 years was a bank and then sat empty for many years and then opened up as the Bank nightclub as an after-hours, members-only, 2, 3, 4 in the morning kind of a place that everybody would roll into when the rest of the bars closed.
And that's where all the stories come from.
That's where all the stories come from. And so when we moved in, we found an occupancy license for 500 people.
There were more than 500 people.
Yeah, no, every square inch of space was taken up. And so in keeping with that, of it being the bank and a bank, that's why the name is Banca.
When did transit happen?
There were about 8 different clubs that operated in the building from when it was the bank to when it shut down. All the names I don't know. I'm sure they're on an L&I report somewhere, but I haven't seen them all. And so, you know, in keeping with that history and kind of the fun of the neighborhood, which is exploding, the Spring Arts District is going crazy, we decided to keep it the bank, but with an Italian twist, an Italian-American twist.
Banca.
You know, always keeping a nod to the history of the building. Because, you know, our history is hospitality, and that's really the goal of this institution and this place. You know, DiBruno Brothers really feels so strongly about building the community in Philadelphia. They're tied to the community. And having an event space has been something that they've longed for years, and we now have it.
So I see that you're preserving some of these old pictures on the wall. That triangle's from transit.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
some of this stuff is old. Some of it's brand new. The Arts and Crafts Holdings, the owner is quite an art collector, and he's got a ton of very cool things.
What's on the second floor? What's that going to be?
Well, it is currently their offices, and so it will remain that until, you know, at some time they outgrow it and move to somewhere else, and then maybe we'll expand upstairs too.
Just the main floor and the basement, maybe.
The basement for special guests.
So we're not going up there?
We're not going up there. No, okay. It's locked off.
So what's this back room going to be?
Well, this back room was a vault above the basement vault. This was a giant locker storage vault, and it will be our kitchen. So they're scraping and painting and loading it all up, and we'll do this as our turnout kitchen.
It's a big space.
Yeah, it is. Well, it needs a big space. We don't really have any cooking capacity here, so, you know, everything comes from the commissary, which is about a block and a half away. So everything would just have to get turned out here and reheated and sent out.
You're not building in...
We're not building a full kitchen. We don't have the cooking capacity within the space to create a kitchen. We're treating it like every other museum and special event site that has a turnout kitchen.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the history. Let's come out here.
This mirror, one of the beauties about it on an angle is that we're using it as a selfie station. So when you move back a little further, you can take a selfie in a Frank Furness framed mirror. One of three, there are two additional Frank Furness mirrors that we're hoping to install over by the bar. But this was originally the opening mirror in the lobby. It's one of the few interior photographs we have from in the 1880s. of where this stood. And this mirror frame was designed by Frank Furness. This was coat check back here and liquor storage. This black
window,
and white wall.
Window wall.
Window wall used to be all the liquor storage. They built this iron cage to control the liquor when it first was built so that no one could get in. And so it stayed here. And we're going to create a series of black and white photographs that'll be etched within the plexiglass. One of the colleagues from the hospitality industry was a coat check girl here. She did a walkthrough with us, and her memory was just blowing circuits left and right of all of the times and all the nights and early mornings and sunrises she saw crawling out of this building.
I think a lot of people in Philadelphia have those memories.
That's all I keep hearing. I keep hearing about everybody who partied here. They don't remember really when or why.
Everybody ended up here at one point or another.
Everybody ended up here. Everybody who has a story about it also has a little bit of embarrassment about that story and a little bit of, I did things I probably shouldn't be talking about on the radio.
We're all grown with families now.
Yes,
right?
exactly. You know, we're not wearing fishnets and black eyeliner. Some of the photographs I've seen are just unbelievable about how much people wanted to be an early version of Marilyn Manson.
Well, this was a goth club for a while.
It was goth. Yeah. I think that was its last use as a club, was as a goth club. But its first use and its origination, as I understand it, was
a bank.
Well, when it was the bank, it was the refugee location for the LGBT community in Philadelphia, long before the gayborhood started. And this is where everybody felt very comfortable to be who they wanted to be and come here at 10, 11 midnight until 4 in the morning. And it was packed for years, every night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was. I mean, I remember when it closed and people were like, oh my God. And then it reopened and people were like, oh my God.
Yeah, right.
And here we go again.
And so that was one generation that went through it and then moved to the burbs. And so it was a rebirth for a new generation.
I think it was a couple of generations,
because it's
been around for a long time.
Yeah, I think it was a club in the 35, 36 year period. So yeah, that's a couple generations indeed.
I just can't believe how bright it is. Was it always this bright? Do you repaint it, or did you just add extra lights that I've never seen before?
No. These are the original lights.
That never turned on,
but they are the original lights. The whole ceiling from the second floor up, and it's a 31-foot high ceiling, was kind of a dirty nicotine-stained copper color that was there for decades. We spent a long time ripping it out, washing it, redoing all the plaster work and repainting it. So we woke it back up and gave it its own world again. And it's a completely different thing. If you see the photos from before and after, it would just shock you.
I'm just imagining the people that used to be goths here come back for like a wedding or a bar mitzvah.
Yeah, well, and you know, they'd be the wedding and bar mitzvah of their children or their
right.
grandchildren.
Exactly.
They would not be the original.
Right.
One of the first people to see the space after we started to renovate it spoke about how when he was 18 and 19, he kind of lived here because this was where he felt most comfortable and spent almost every night here. And now he would never let his child come here. He would never let a kid enjoy what was enjoyed here. So
let's talk about what you plan to do. So you talk about weddings and bar mitzvahs, and you're going to obviously have food and catering here.
Oh, of course. Yeah, DeBruyne's has really exploded with the events and catering business. We have a new executive chef, Ashley James, who is brilliant, spent 10 years with Star Catering. He's brilliant. We've rewritten all the menus. And so with this launch of here, the events and catering division of DeBruyne Brothers is exploding. Our hope and expectation is that this will lead to obviously other exclusive venues, but also to other community venues. We like to do a lot of work with the community. We like to do a lot of nonprofits, and that's really how I view this venue. But I really think that the nonprofit fundraising community and the political community is going to really take advantage of this because it's a perfect size for that kind of cocktail party in the evening, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights, and doing what they do, which is ask for money.
Right. 150 to 200 people or less. You can make this loud.
Oh, you could totally do it for 50 people. It fits very comfortably. But, you know, 150 is full, 200 if it's really just straight cocktails. But, you know, that kind of 90 to 120 is really the sweet spot. You know, and it's a hardwood floor that goes from end to end. So it's one of the biggest dance floors in Philadelphia, so, as everybody remembers.
Mm-hmm.
So we could definitely do
if you're putting the DJ up on the second floor.
It saves some space, but it also gives that height awareness of the space and creates more excitement. And we have a lot of capacity to hang additional lighting, to have some fun dance floor lighting coming off the rails on the second floor with the monitors playing, you know, old fun animated cartoons if you want, or whatever.
Where to donate.
Right. Or a sponsored loop, right? For your American Red Cross, whatever.
I mean, this is a completely different feel.
It is a completely different feel, and it's really a rebirth of a space that is not only on the Historic Commission, so it isn't going anywhere, but it really needed a lot of love. And DB has put in a lot of love here. They've spent way more than the budget. It's got a proximity to the convention center. It has certainly a proximity to Center City. It has a lot going for it, and it's also brand new, which is also one of the coolest things about it, is that it, you know, has a lot of availability.
How long was it empty before you took it over?
This part of it sat empty for about 16 years.
So when you guys were looking through this old building, did you find anything what did you find that blew your mind or that was interesting?
They didn't really leave anything, because over the years, all the different clubs, everybody's searched everything about it. But things that they couldn't move or take away were all the vaults. There's 9 different vaults throughout the building. And the hardware, the construction, trying to rebuild the space was a nightmare, because there's, you know, multiple inches of stainless steel and iron ore, and 3 or 4 feet of concrete around the building. It was built to not go anywhere. So the renovation was really challenging. You got to work with the building. And so there is some stuff. You can see there's some conduit that has to be on the outside, because it just, you can't get into the walls. But I think for me, the coolest thing was discovering that cheese vault. It's just, you know, the doors are in pristine condition. They're intact. The space was gorgeous. It's a perfect temperature down there. So that to me is going to be like the real gem of the use for DB catering clients.
Looks like the floor is original, the mosaic floor also, the banquette, and the bar.
This was all here from when it was first designed as a nightclub. Was this 3-inch concrete bar top and a 3-foot concrete back bar. This was built in the 80s, I'm guessing, maybe as early as the 70s, and has been here since. It's made with red oak and cedar, and the contractors have done an incredible job of stripping it and bringing it back to life. And again, decades of stain and nicotine and paint, and now you can only imagine how much stuff was on these windows in this bar.
What about the subway tile backsplash here, back wall?
That we've all installed. We installed all of the window treatments, and all of that tile work is all brand new.
Because it was gross.
It was, well, it needed a little lift. And okay. And what we really wanted to do was tie into what we've done is surround the columns on the south wall in tile and marble, and give it a little bit more of an elegant look and a little bit more of a nod toward what it was. As you can see, they're doing all hand painting of the oak leaves up on the scroll, and really taking special care to make sure that everything is accented accurately to what it probably looked like 140 years ago.
All right. What do you want to say to all the goths from 20 years ago, 30 years ago?
Well, I would invite them all to come back, because they all have children now, and they all have, you know...
Another generation,
but they should come back and remember how much fun they had here, because it really is a really uber fun space, and, you know, with some good food and a couple of cocktails, you can relive those days in a second.
This was about the dancing. This was about the dance party, this place.
It was about the dancing. It was about the socialization, and the dancing was really the core of it, and so that socialization is back. The idea of coming back, whether you're just eating, having a dinner party, or celebrating somebody's whatever, this is really a cool place to come back to and to be a part of, because it's so integral to the community and everybody's memory. I mean, everybody has a great memory about this place.
Seriously, I want someone to invite me to a party here.
Okay. I'll be happy to invite you to the grand opening.
Okay, love it. Anything else you want to add, Daniel?
I really want to say thank you. I mean, this is so kind of you to take an interest and to be involved with this. We're so jazzed about this. It is such a really cool space.
Daniel Love is project manager of Banca by De Bruyne Brothers here at 6th and Spring Garden Streets. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're very gracious. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of What's Cooking on KYW. You can follow the show and get other delicious tidbits on Instagram at foodinthe215. And follow me on Twitter and Facebook for more news and insights at Hadas Kuznets. If you have a food tip or feedback about the show, reach out. And please take a moment to help us by rating and reviewing the show on iTunes.
helps us to keep making the podcast and get it to new listeners. I'm Hadas Kuznets, and that's What's Cooking.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.